Good morning. Today's daf Menachos Lametes. We are in Lametes Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud Umantana, and we start with the words about six lines from the bottom of the Amud. And who is the Tana? Well, before we ask that question, let's just get our bearings. We started yesterday the fourth parak of Menachos. We talked about the mitzvah of tzitzis. The Mishnah is really the end of the third parak of Menachos. Opened up the topic of tzitzis. It talked about Sifrei Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzah, and it talked about how Osachas is Ma'akev, that one letter is Ma'akev. And so, and by tzitzios also, how do we look at the four corners of tzitzios? So the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, going all the way back to Chav Ches, so a while ago. So the Tanakhama, the Mishnah says that the same thing. In other words, that the four corners of the Beged of tzitzis are all one mitzvah, and therefore the Ma'akev Zed Zed. And then there was the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, which we dealt with yesterday extensively, where Rabbi Shmuel says that the four corners are considered four mitzvahs. What's the nafka minute between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shmuel? And the Gemara introduced us to a number of them. And then we opened up with the fourth parak of the Masechta. Fourth parak of Masechta now is going to head on and talk about the mitzvah of tzitzis. And so for the next number of days, we're going to be focused in on the mitzvah of tzitzis. The first thing we encountered yesterday is this idea that by tzitzis there is a... there's an idea of tcheles, that strings have to be dyed blue. Well, how many strings? Quite frankly, the Gemara never says. The Mishnah never says, the Gemara never says. So we learned Rashi yesterday. Rashi says that of the four strings that go into every corner of the tzitzis, so two of them are white and two of them are blue. Tosfos agrees with Rashi. There are other Rishonim, notably the Rambam, who says that one of the strings is blue, not two. But regardless, So the Mishnah tells us that the tchelis is not ma'akev lovin, lovin's not ma'akev tchelis. Now the way Rashi understood the Mishnah is that this is strictly a question of color, meaning to say that we're always going to put four strings on the four corners in terms of what color they're going to be. So there's a mitzvah and a muvchar. Obviously, there's the best way to do the mitzvah, and that is according to Rashi, dye two of them blue and two of them will remain white. But in terms of li'ikuva, in terms of what's essential, so color's not essential. And Rashi wrote in yesterday's Gemara that you can have all four of them white, you can have all four of them blue. In other words, the color's not essential. Tosfos disagreed with Rashi's explanation of what's not ma'akev exactly, and you can see Tosfos in yesterday's daf for more discussion on that matter, but that's the way Rashi understands it. And in the course of yesterday's daf, we just kind of got ourselves oriented with this idea of tcheles and whether or not tcheles is li'kuva or it's not li'kuva. Presumably, the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And what the Gemara tried to do yesterday is the Gemara tried to squeeze Rabbi Yehuda Nasi into our Mishnah. And it's possible the Gemara did a couple of maneuvers to try to do so. It could be that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi just simply may not agree with our Mishnah, and that's what the Gemara discussed yesterday. We talked a little bit yesterday about Gardumim, about when you have leftovers of the strings, in other words, after affixing the strings correctly to the corners, so they get worn down, and basically you're left with a couple of stubs of strings. So would that be okay? The Gemara talked yesterday about the fact that it would be okay. We'll talk more about that in the course of today's daf as well. Who is the author of our mission that says that tcheles is not ma'akev? And that's what we're up to. So we're on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We are about six lines from the bottom of the Amud. And Umantana de Palgala de Rebbe. So who argues with the Rebbe? Hi Tana, the who? So the Gemara identifies a Tana de Tanya with Antana Breisa. Rebbe Yitzhak Omer Mishum Rebbe Nasan Sha'amar Mishum Rebbe Yosef Aglili Sha'amar Mishum Rebbe Yochanan Ben Nuri Ein Lo Tcheles Mei Teloven. So if a person doesn't have Tcheles, he has no blue strings, so he puts white strings on and that would be fine. Okay, good. So we've identified now a Tana who is of the opinion that Tcheles, although it's the mitzvah, but it's not Likuva, it doesn't withhold the mitzvah. You have to tie every chulia. Okay, so in terms of tzitzis, so basically, the way the Gemara is looking at tzitzis is as follows: is that on the corner of the garment, what you do have now is you have strings coming out. As we're going to learn later this morning, and again, all information we all know, God willing, but you take four strings and you poke it through a hole in the corner. Okay, and then after you take the strings and you poke into a corner, so now the strings are just going to be hanging down. There is going to be a term that we're going to see a number of times in the course of today's daf, and that's referred to as a chulia. A chulia basically is a braiding of the strings. Now, as we're going to learn in just a moment, and again, you could just take a look at your own tzitzis and you'll see this is the case, is that before any braiding is done, so the first thing that's done is a knot. Okay, double knot, meaning it's got to be a permanent knot. So the first thing that's done is those four strings doubled over those eight strings. So you do is you tie it into a double knot, and now you have a kesher, you have a knot. Then after that, what you do is you make a chulia. A chulia is just simply a winding of one string around other strings. Okay? And what the Gemara now is teaching us is the following. Tzarech likshur akol chulia v'chulia, that what you have to do is you have to tie over every single chulia. Meaning that you're going to make a chulia. So in other words, you're going to make a braided portion. And then what you're going to do is you're going to knot. And then you're going to make another braided portion. And then you're going to make a knot. And what you have to do is that between every chulia, so you're going to make a knot. Now, because let's for a moment imagine that there is no requirement to do so. So the Gemara says, we'll go back to a statement that was made yesterday by the sons of Rebbe Chia, which is that if I have leftover of the tchelas, or if I have leftover of the Azov, so that would be kosher. So the Gemara says, now for a moment, let's imagine that there are no knots in the middle. There are no intervening knots. And so basically what I have is, after these strings come down off the corner, I make a double knot, and then from there I just simply have, I do a wrapping, but then afterwards I just have the rest of the strings just kind of hanging out. But there are no intervening knots. Well, if there are no intervening knots, so basically what you can expect is that all the winding is going to get undone. So the Gemara says, so this statement there where you have gerdumei tcheles, you have leftover tcheles, well, how are you going to have any gerdumei tcheles if there was no winding portion? So the Gemara says, doma di'ikta. The Gemara says, okay, but if all I had was that statement, that in of itself is not proof that I have to make knots in between each one of the chulia sections. Because what we could just simply say is that in the event that I made knots in between every one of the chulia sections, and then what happens is that I only have stubs of the strings, so I can imagine now how I'm, as long as, even though I lost all the psilim, I lost all the loose strings, but I'm still going to have the chulia parshim, because I put a knot in between each one of them. The Gemara says, okay, but that's if you made a knot between each one of them. In a chinami, you'd be right, that if I didn't make a knot between each one of them, if the only knot I made is a double knot immediately after the corner of the garment, so then you'd right. Then under those circumstances, I probably wouldn't have no tchelis left over. So what the Gemara is basically saying is, maybe the sons of Rabbi Chia are only talking about a case that, in a case where you knotted it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to knot it in between every one of the chulias. Okay, Amar Rabba. The Gemara here quotes a statement by Rabba. Shema mina kesher elyon daraisa. Okay, the kesher elyon is daraisa, and we'll learn the Gemara like Rashi. Kesher elyon over here is that we're talking about the first knots that are made after you looped the strings through the corner of the garment. So you went through the corner of the garment, and like I described just a moment ago, so what you're now going to do is you're going to make a double knot. What the Gemara now is saying is that this double knot that you're creating now, that's Kesher Elyon, so that is a Din D'Oraisa, meaning that is absolutely required regarding tzitzis. It's not a Hiddur, it's not a Lechatchila, it's a Din D'Oraisa to make the double knot, and the Gemara now is going to make the argument, how do I know this? Where do we see this? Because if you're telling me that it's just a din derabban, my itzurch lemishrei sudden betzitzas pshita tokef tkifa achas eno chibur. So the Gemara says, because we know that we have a heter, we're going to be discussing it today, we'll discuss it tomorrow, and that is that when you are constructing tzitzas kehilchasa, when you're properly making the tzitzas, so what you can do is you can violate the laws of shanes, meaning you can make on a linen garment. You could put wool strings on a linen garment, and the Torah says, and that would be okay mina Torah. Now, for a moment, the Gemara says, let's entertain the idea that there's no requirement to make a knot. If there's no requirement to make a knot, so newsflash, you're not violating the Isser of Shatnez. If I have wool and linen touching one another, even if I have the wool strings going through the hole of the linen garment, but I don't knot it, so did I violate Shatnez? And the answer, of course, is no. Shatnez is only violated when you make a permanent connection between wool material and linen material. Then and only then do you violate shatnez. So by virtue of the fact that I'm putting the wool strings through a linen garment, is that a violation of shatnez? No. The only point that becomes a violation of shatnez is only when I knot them together. Hence, the knot has to be a din d'oraisa. because otherwise I'm not violating Shanes. And we know the whole concept, the whole idea of tzitzis is that the positive commandment of tzitzis is able to override the negative prohibition of Shanes. The Gemara quotes, I didn't explain this carefully enough in the Gemara, HaTokif Tkifa Achas Inu Chibor. If all I have is, let's say, wool and linen connected with one thread passing through, that's not considered a connection, and so therefore that's not a violation of Shanes. Over here, without the double knot, I don't even have one stitch. All I have is just simply wool strings going through the corner of a linen garment. That in of itself is nothing vis-a-vis Shanes, and so therefore it must be that Kesher Elyon is a Din D'oraisa. That's all. It's not Chinese. Now the Gemara says that the gardumim, the stubs of the strings, if they were left over, that would be fine. However, if the string were to be broken at the base of the corner, so then that is possible, that's disqualified. Yosef, Rav Nachman, Kamer Lahashmai, Ta'is, Ve'rav, Rav Nachman, Ba'medvar, Mamurim, B'tchilaso. So the Gemara quotes the following braisa. When is Gardumim going to be okay? That is only when T'chilaso, Aval Sofer, Shayarav, V'Gardum of Kol Shehu. Meaning, if you are making tzitzis in the beginning, so they have to be kosher strings, going down at a certain length. The certain length we're going to describe a little bit later on. But if you made the tzitzis initially kosher, and you're left with, and let's read the end of the braisa carefully, Shayarav Vigardumov, leftovers and stubs. So kolshu, any amount would be fine. Now, when we say kolshu, any amount, so we don't literally mean any amount. Remember yesterday's daf? We talked about the stubs have to be able to at least be tied in a bow, in some sort of knot. But in the meantime, however, in the end of the braisa, we just learned together that if I have either Shayarav or Gardumov, so under those circumstances, the tzitzis would still be okay. Now, my shayarav, my gardumov, these two terms. What are these two terms? My love shayarav de ifsik minayu, vishtar minayu, gardumov de igardum igardume. So the Gemara says, ostensibly, these two terms are describing two different scenarios of the strings of the tzitzis. Ostensibly, the shayarav is referencing to the idea that even if one of the strings broke, and even if it was at the base of the corner, it would still be okay, and gardumav are the stubs that we described earlier. But in other words, if this is a correct understanding of the braisa, so then this would go against the opinion of Rav. Rav tells us that if the strings breaks of the tzitzis at the base of the corner, so then that's puzzle. So the Gemara says, lo chadakatani shayurav gardumav kol shehu. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the way to understand the braisa. Shayurav gardumav are not a description of two different scenarios, but rather, it is a description of one singular scenario. Velema gardumav shayarav lamali. So the Gemara says, well, if it's describing one scenario, so let's be a little bit more succinct. Let's just simply use the words gardumav and not the word shayarav. So the Gemara says, hakamash lan debein and shiure legarduma kidei la'anvan. So the Gemara says, no. Because if all I had was the word gardumim, gardumim are stumps. Now a stump could be anything. It could be any amount. So in other words, if my tzitzis have worn down to the point where it's just a little bit of frayed string at the end, so maybe that in of itself would be okay. Shayarav is coming to tell me that there has to be a significant amount left over, meaning all I have are just simply stumps of the fridges, but how much is necessary? I need still something which is significant. What is that something which is significant? We go back to what we learned yesterday's daf. Gemara repeats in today's daf. Kidei la'anvan. Enough string so that I can at least tie a bow in whatever string is left over. Now, the string that you're using to circle around the other strings, that counts towards the tzitzis. Meaning, like we described already a number of times, there are four long strings that are going to be going through the hole of the corner of the tzitzis, and then they're going to be looped over. And so now you have eight strings hanging down. What you're going to do is you're going to make first a double knot, like we described, and then what you're going to do is you're going to start winding. You're going to start winding one string around the other. The Gemara is entertaining a thought, just for a moment, that one string which is winding, that doesn't count as your tzitzis. Meaning that's a winding string, it's something categorically different. What the Gemara is now teaching us is, no, that's not the correct way to look at it. The string that's being wound around the other strings, that's min ha-minyan, that's part and parcel of the tzitzis, and so therefore it's four strings, again doubled over into eight, and the winding string is considered one of those strings. Good. Amalei Rav Yosef Shmuel Amra Velo Rav. The Gemara makes a correction in the name of Rav Yosef that although attribution of the statement was given to Rav, it really was said by Shmuel. Eidmar Nami Amar Rabba Barbachana Sachli Rav Yosef Demin Usha Chushakrach Ola Lamin Aminyan. And the Gemara quotes a statement by Rabbi Barchana that corroborates exactly this point, that the winding string is counted as one of the 4/8. Yosef Rabba Vakam Rameshmeh Dishmo Tchelis Shekarach Rubo Ksheira. If let's say you have the tchelis string. Now again, according to Rashi, there are actually going to be two tchelis strings, but presumably right now we're just talking about the winding string. And according to the Rambam, honestly, it works out a little bit better because according to the Rambam, there's only one tchelis string. But in any event, if let's say most of that string gets utilized for the winding and very little of it, or I can even go one step further, maybe even none of it is hanging down as loose strings, it's still going to be a kasher pair of tzitzis. Amale Rav Yosef, Rav Amra Velo Shmuel. And again, Rav Yosef makes a correction. That statement was not made in the name of Rav, but rather in the name of Shmuel. Idmar Nami, Amar Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Yirmiya, Bar Abba, Amar Rav, Tchela Shekarach Rubak Shera, that if I have the tchelis which is being wound, and although most of that tchelis string is used for the purpose of winding, and little to none of it is coming down as loose string at the end, still the tzitzis would be kosher. Rav Chia Bereda, Rav Nasa Masni Hachi, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav, Yirmiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav. The Gemara then quotes the statement going with a shalshalos of Rabbanim, going all the way back to Rav, tchelis shekarach rubak shera, v'afilo karach ba ela chulya achas kshera. In terms of your minimalistic tzitzis, so let's say you have the tchelis, and the majority of the tchelis is being used for the winding, and either little to none of it is hanging down at the loose end, still the tzitzis would be kosher. And even afilo karach ba ela chulya achas kshera. And if all I made was just one chulya, and again, going back to the beginning of shir this morning, the chulya is the winding section, meaning between the knots, that little wound section, that braided section, that's called the chulya. If I only make one of them, your tzitzis is going to be kosher. So at a base minimum, I need a double knot. I need a chulya. And even if the majority of the tchelis is used for the winding, still the tzitzis would be good. Good. So that is really your minimalist version of what tzitzis look like on every corner of the beged. V'noy tchelis, but the Gemara says, but if you want them to look beautiful, so shlish gedil, shnei shlishi anaf. So really, so from a lichat tchelis standpoint, from a noy standpoint, from a heder mitzvah standpoint, so what you should have is 1/3, 2/3. So in other words, as you are basically measuring the tzitzis from the corner of the garment down to the bottom of the tzitzis, 1/3 of it should be wound, 2/3 of it should be loose hanging tzitzis. Okay, now it's interesting over here, the Gemara does not give an actual total measurement, or even truth of the matter is that even a partial measurement of what is actually going to be the linear measurement from top to bottom. All we know is the ratio, we know the proportion of 1/3 to 2/3, but the Gemara does not give an actual amount in terms of how long it should be. The Rishonim fill in terms of how long it should be. But anyway, but in terms of ratio, it should be 1/3 to 2/3. So, if your tzitzis are well made, and I know everyone's now going to be tempted to check their tzitzis, I know. So but if your tzitzis are well made, so that means to say that if you took the strings, the loose hanging strings, and then you were to fold them over fold them over one time, so the length of that should be the total length of the wound section of your tzitzis. That Gemara says is noy mitzvah. That's the most beautiful version of what tzitzis should look like. V'kam ashir chulya. Now, how should one chulya, what should the length be of one chulya? So, and again, a chulya over here is a wound section. Tanya Rabbi Amar Kadesh Yechroch V'shana V'shalash. So the Gemara over here gives a version of 1, 2, and 3. Now, it's not super clear from the Gemara what the Gemara over here means 1, 2, and 3. Rashi over here just writes very, very succinctly, Hakafa Gimel Palmim, that you go around 3 times. Now, as we'll see in just a moment, the next brisa seems to indicate that it's not 3 times, but it's either going to be either 7 or 13. But in other words, but not 3. So, could very well be that the Gemara is just presenting differing viewpoints in terms of what constitutes a chulia. Could very well be. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Poches lo yivchos misheva v'amos v'al yosef al shosh esrei. So in terms of winding, so how many windings should it be? So minimally it should be no less than 7, And from a maximum standpoint, it should be no more than 13. Why the number 7 and 13? What's so significant about 7 and 13? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Because we know that as far as viewing the heavens is concerned, so the way we view the heavens is that there's Sheva Rikim. There are 7 heavens. And so therefore, the tzitzis, and we'll see the Rashi in just a moment, tzitzis are there to remind us about the Shemaim, the Kisei HaKavod, and so therefore it is there to remind us of the heavens. So therefore, you are using a number that speaks to this idea. That's why 7. And so as far as the number 13 is concerned, it's the same basic idea. We start with 7 rakiyim, that's how many rakiyas there are. And in terms of each rakiya separate from one another, with, you know, what, like a building. In other words, there are 7 floors, and between the 7 floors, you have, you know, six ceilings / floors. So in the rakiya, again, to the best of our understanding, it's 7 floors in the rakiya, right? If you had an elevator in the rakiya, so there'd be 7 buttons to push. And of course, in between each one of them, you have some sort of separation. So that's 7 + 6, and that gets us to the number 13. Okay, wonderful. Now we can take a look at Rashi together. Rashi shishisha avirin shebein shivarikim va'al shame. And Rashi says, why is this imagery the one that's going to dictate what a chulya looks like? Al shem shat tchelas dom liyam, because tchelas reminds us of the ocean. V'yam dom lerakia kidelakaman, and this is going to be a gemara coming up a couple days from now in the daf. So medami sidera l'sidar rikim kidei lizichrona or lizkor l'karsh baruch hu l'tova sh'aft tziva kamo kein nizkak l'tzitzis. So in other words, so this is a reminder of a karsh baruch hu, who instructed us to make the tzitzis. That's the way Rashi understands the significance of 7 and 13. The rakia and the entire rakia. Okay, so interesting. So again, do you want to look down at your tzitzis and you want to see your tzitzis and you want to see, do you have 7, do you have 13? So what you probably have in your tzitzis is, well, I'll explain it in a moment what you probably have in your tzitzis. But first thing, a really interesting comment by Tosfos over here. Lo yifchos misheva keneged shiva rakiyim. Tosfos writes, lefisha atchelas dom layam v'yam dom lerakiya. Fine. Like, right, in other words, Tosfos says like Rashi. That in other words, because the tzitzis reminds us of the rakiya. And so therefore the numbers that we use for each one of the chulyas is going to be a number corresponding to the chulya, which is either going to be 7 or 13. Va'anan deleis lan tchelas lo kamtinan baha. So Tosfos over here says, okay, but nowadays we don't have tchelas. And as I already pointed out in yesterday's daf, right? Tchelas was lost sometime. Here's what I know. I know it was sometime after Churban Bayit Sheni and sometime before the Baalei Tosfos were on the scene. So I understand I just created a over 1,000-year window in history. So I didn't do such a good job in terms of pinpointing. but nevertheless, so at one point historically, we lost Tchelas. We lost the Masara. We don't have Tchelas. And again, as I already mentioned yesterday, so there has been a revival of Tchelas. But in the meantime, however, Tosfos points out that these instructions about how specifically to put a chulya together, right, that little braided section that exists within all of our tzitzis, either to be made of number 7 or number 13, so Tosfos points out that's when there was Tchelas. Then these numbers become significant. And if you think about it in the context of what Tosfos just said and what Rashi just said, it makes perfect sense. Because the whole idea of 7 and 13 is to remind us of the rakia. Because it's blue, just like the yam, just like the rakia. So in other words, but we don't have blue. We're not looking at blue. So there, it's no longer significant in reminding us of the rakia. So therefore, these numbers are not as critical for us as they were when there was tchelas. And it's true that you have to make a knot between each one of the chulyas, but that's just simply to highlight the tchelas, to accentuate the tchelas. And what is araminak? So Tosfos over here quotes, and truth of the matter is, it was first Rashi, and then Tosfos, but as long as I'm hearing Tosfos, I'll just read it from Tosfos. But Tosfos is quoting Rashi. So as far as we're concerned, so we make 5 knots, meaning, what is araminak? Our minhag is that we have the tzitzis coming off the corner. We make our first double knot. Again, we're going to call that kesher elyon. I know not everyone agrees to that being described as a kesher elyon. But for our purposes right now, we're learning like Rashi, keep it nice and simple. That's called the Kesher Elyon. We already learned this morning, that's the Din Daraisa. Then what we do is we make a Chulia, followed then by a second double knot. A Chulia, third double knot. A Chulia, fourth double knot. And one more Chulia and the fifth double knot. That's our Minhag, Tosu says, that's our Minhag. Perish Bekunshus, Gabi Tzitzis, Shkula Kenega Kola Mitzvos, Lefisha Tzitzis Ola Tafresh. So as far as Tosu's explanation, again, citing Rashi, and this everybody knows, but here's your source, because the word Tzitzis itself in Gematria is 600, followed then by the Ches Chutim, the eight strings that are used. Now again, it's not really eight strings, it's four strings, but for the purpose of this Remez, so we're going to view it as eight strings. So far we're up to now the number 608. V'chamisha ksharim, and the five knots. So now that gets us to 613. Ola Taryag, and that gets us to 613. U'zechartim is called Mitzvos Hashem. And the pasuk says, when relating to tzitzis, it's supposed to remind you of Mitzvos Hashem. We know there are Taryag Mitzvos, there are 613 Mitzvos. And so this combination of gematria plus strings plus knots gets us to the number 613. This is Rashi, this is Tosos. Okay. In terms of what our minhag is. Okay, there are technical problems with this. In other words, Tosos already points out, I'm not going to go through the rest of Tosos. There are technical problems with this because the word tzitzis, as it's spelled in the Torah, as constructed in the Torah, so it doesn't total to 600. Because tzitzis only totals to 600 if the word is spelled tzadi yud, tough. It's not spelled in the Torah, tzadi yud, tough. It's missing a yud. Okay, so in other words, it's in defense of Rashi, in defense of Tosos, it's a remez. It's there to just simply help us. It's a memory aid. It's a mnemonic to help us remember the Taryag Mitzvos. So in other words, even though there is not necessarily precision in the mnemonic, it's just there to help us remember. Okay, good. Anyway, and I can only speak to our minhag, meaning I know our minhag, and full disclosure, I don't have tchelis. You know, I'll add the word yet, but I say that not with a lot of, you never know. But in the meantime, however, the traditional minhag, the classic minhag, is to do like we just learned in Tosfos, to have four chulias with the five knots separating the four chulias, and in terms of the number construction, in terms of winding. So I'll just speak to the minhag that I'm most familiar with. It's going to be 7, 8, 11, 13. So it's interesting, what we do is we start with the number 7, which is brought down the Gemara. We end on the number 13, which is also brought in the Gemara. And then the two, and Chulia's numbers 2 and 3 is 8 windings and 11 windings. I heard something very nice. I heard in terms of the significance of that. So in other words, 7 and 8 is 15. So those are the... So those are the first two letters of Shem Hashem. That's the Yud and the Hey. So that's the 15. The next is 11. That's the next two letters in Shem Hashem. That's the Vav and the Hey. And then the next winding is going to be 13, and that is Begematria of the word Echad. So in other words, in the Tefillin, in our Minug of 7, 8, 11, 13, so we're basically spelling out the word Hashem Echad. Okay, that's what I heard. I'd like to give a source for that. I don't have a source off the top of my head, but shamati, that's what I heard. Okay, back to the Gemara. The apoches lo yichos mesheva keneged shevrakim amosiv lo yosef ashlosh asrei keneged shevrakim v'shisha avirim shebeneihem. Fine. I'm sorry. We read all that. Okay, sorry. Tana. Okay, about 6 lines from the bottom. The Amud Alamet Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. Kishu maska maska belavan. So you're gonna start winding. Now remember, by the way, you're winding. I'm just speaking from the Gemara's perspective. What you're winding is you're winding four strings. But again, I'll say it like Rashi and Tosfos. Two of them are gonna be blue, and two of them are gonna be white. So in other words, what you're gonna end up doing is that it's gonna be a blend of blue and white. Make sure, says the Gemara, that your first knot is gonna be, and your first winding is gonna be primarily white. Why? Because Hakanaf min Kanaf. Because the pasuk says Hakanaf. And the understanding of Hakanaf is that which comes off the corner. And again, like we said in yesterday's daf, we're going to keep repeating this point again and again. It's one of the fundamental assumptions of the Gemara. the garment is going to be classically white. In a moment, we're going to describe what if the garment's not white. But in other words, classically, the garment was white. So that means that the tzitzis are coming off the garment. They are going to be made of a blend of blue and white. But the first knot should be made in a way in which the white is evident. The white is showing. Why? Ha kanaf min kanaf. Because the tzitzis have to, when first coming off the corner, have to have the same appearance, have to have the same color as the corner itself. Corner is white. The first one that comes off is white. Ukishem misayim belavan. Same thing when you get to the end as well. So in other words, you're going to have blue windings throughout the chulyas, but then when you get to the last section, it's going to be white. Why? Because malam bekosh v'lo marinen, because we go up in kedusha and we do not go down in kedusha. White has more kedusha. Now that's interesting, obviously. Meaning what determines the color of white to have more kedusha than that of the tchelis and that of the blue? So Rashi over here writes very simply, because white's mentioned first. In other words, the Rashi says, Amalim Mekosh Vayim Aridin, Rashi three lines from the bottom, V'kevin da Akdam Akra, Lemin Kenaf, Shmamina Chashav Hu, Hilkach Im Esayim B'tchelas, Havalei Morid, Sof Atzitzis Mitzchilasa. So in other words, the Minha Kenaf is telling us that it has to be, that the white is the first of the colors that are mentioned in the Torah. Tchelas is only color number two. So therefore, when you start off, you want to start off white. When you end, you want to end off white. Malim Bekosh Vayim Aridin, obviously, with all the chulyas, with the blue windings that are in the middle. Rav Rabba Bar Bachana Haviyasra Havakachala Va'azal Haugavra Demechse Glima Dekula Tchilta. Verami La Tchilta Ugedila Migdal. So now, Rav, together with Rabba Bar Bachana, are sitting down, and along passes a person. And the person now has got a really interesting talis and tzitzis. So, as far as the glima is concerned, as far as the beged is concerned, so the beged, the entire talis was made up of tchelis, so it was wool. Okay, so the man was wearing a wool suit, a blue wool suit. Okay, and I say suit, by the way, keep in mind, everyone here understands. You know, it's anachronistic to describe it as a suit. Whatever, the garment that he wore at the time, which was, you know, obviously, good for his day and age. So so it was made up of blue. That's wonderful. And Ramile Tchilta, and he also put on blue tzitzios. And furthermore, one more description before we get the editorials. So he vigidile migdal, and it only had wound section, and it did not have any loose strings at the end. Okay. Now we already learned this morning, right? If you've been paying attention. We already learned earlier this morning that the construct of the tzitzis should be one-third gedil, two-thirds anaf. Okay? We already learned that. But anyway, but in terms of minimalistic tzitzis, we already learned also this morning, doesn't have to be that way. But in other words, okay, so that's the way the guy decided to go. Amar Rav Yai Glima V'lo Yai Tchilta. So Rav says, as far as the garment is concerned, it's beautiful. Now, Rav was not describing the aesthetic nature of the garment, meaning, I'm sure, right, they are obviously, they're well beyond superficial. And over here, what they were commenting on is that the acceptability of using a blue garment. So Rav says, as far as the garment is concerned, that's fine. As far as the tzitzis is concerned, so Rav says, not good. Not good. Why? Because there's no loose strings. In other words, the tzitzis only were made up or constructed only of the wound portion of the tzitzis. They didn't have any loose strings. Rav says, that's a deal breaker. Rav's of the opinion that your tzitzis have to be constructed of both wound and loose for reasons which are going to articulate in a moment. Rabba Baruchana Amar Yai Galim of Yad Chilta. Rabba Baruchana looks at the garment, check, like it. Looks at the tchelas, check, I like that as well. So Rabbi Barchana gives a rabbinic approval to both the blue garment and the blue tzitzis that come out of it, even though there are no loose strings coming out. There's no anaf. It's just gedilim. B'maikim Mifligi, the Gemara wants to know, what is that the source of the machlokas? Rabbi Barchana Savar, ksiv gedil v'ksiv psil. So in the Torah, when describing the tzitzis, so we have two terms that are used to describe it. We have the term gedil and we have the word psil. Gedil, braided. That's the wound section. Psil, that's what the Gemara describes as the anaf, the loose strings. O gedil, o psil. And according to Rabbi Chana, what the Torah is doing is it's giving us a choice. You can either have your tzitzis constructed made up of either wound strings or loose strings. It doesn't have to be a hybrid of the two. The Rav Savalolam Psil Beinan. Rav's of the opinion that no, when the Torah describes psil, the loose strings, that is not a choice, it's not an option. It has to have loose strings in addition to the braided, the wound strings. As far as the Gedil is concerned, it's there to talk about minyan, it's talk about the number. Talking about the number, Gedil Shnayim, Gedilim Arba'a. If the Torah would have just simply said the word Gedil, that would have already said two. Why do we get from Gedil to the number two? Very simple. Because Gedil means braided, twisted. I can only twist if I have two. If I only have one, you can't twist one over itself. I'm sure creatively you can figure out a way, but that's not the classic understanding of the word gedil. Gedil, by definition, is something which is twisted, and so therefore, that's two. Then, when the Torah says gedilim, so it's basically take those two, add another two to it, so that's how we get to four strings. Four strings is the number of strings necessary. Asay gedil uposleu mitocho. And what the Gemara now seemingly means is that I need both. The gedil, I need the braided section. The word gedilim also gives me the number of strings that I need, i.e. four. And then after you wind the strings, so then there should also be poslehu. There should be psil, there should be loose strings as well. And so Rav's understanding is that it's a hybrid of the both. It's a combination of the both. Wound and loose strings. That ostensibly is what the Gemara means. Rashi, if you take a look at Rashi, I'm not going to go through it right now. Rashi does give two explanations in terms of what exactly is meant in the Gemara over here, but basically I communicated the basic idea of Rashi. Okay, and now we're now for the rest of today's daf, we're going to be talking about the material that's used for the tzitzis. Now, to be very clear and try to keep all this really organized, so basically we have, of the tzitzis, we have two components of the tzitzis. We have the actual baguette itself, right, the galima, as the Gemara described earlier, and then, of course, we have the strings coming off. Okay, so when we're talking about the construction of which material you're using for the tzitzis, so just we all have to make sure that we keep in mind, are we talking about the garment, or are we talking about the strings coming out? Okay, it's a really important discussion. Okay, so the Gemara quotes, in the name of Levi, that the shchutei tzemer, that's obviously the strings, pochim b'shel pishtan, can be attached to a linen garment. Okay, so in other words, you can have the strings made up of wool knotted onto a linen garment. Okay, now I know we already discussed this earlier this morning. If you take a look at Rashi over here, chutei tzemer pochim b'shel pishtan, osam shtei chutim shel lavan, so the two strings made up of white, im shel tzemer hein, pochim b'sadon shel pishtan, so they could be attached and affixed to the garment of linen. Im hatchelas, together with the tchelas v'afagav daleka hashta min kanaf da'avi shel tzemer. Now, what's the issue over here? The issue over here is that we lost the min kanaf, says Rashi. Because again, the min kanaf tells me that the strings that are coming off the corner have to be of the same as the corner. Now, previously we were talking about that in terms of color. The corner is typically white, therefore the strings coming off of it also are going to be typically white. We talked about it in terms of color. Now, as Rashi's pointing out over here, we can also at least entertain the idea that we could also be talking about material as well. If the garment is linen, so then what should the strings be coming off the garment? Linen as well. And that's exactly what the Gemara is teaching us according to Rashi. That's not necessary. Meaning that when you're making strings coming off the garment, the garment itself could be linen, the strings could be wool. Why? Because look, explains Rashi, we all know that the tchela strings, and again, just I'm learning all these Gemaras like Rashi, okay? The tchela strings, which are two of the four. So the tchela strings are going to be made up of wool by definition. Tchelas, by definition, is a blue dye, but specifically wool strings that are dyed blue. So since the two strings that are made up of tcheles are going to be wool, and they're obviously not matching the linen garment, and that's okay, so too the remaining two strings that are white, which in theory could be made up of linen because there's no blue dye, and so therefore could be made up of linen, but nevertheless they too could be made up of a wool. Yes. They too could be made up of wool strings, and that would be okay. So I've got four wool strings now, two blue, two white, that are coming off the corner of a linen garment, and even though, this is a chiddush according to Rashi, and even though the Torah says hakanaf min kanaf, and there should be a match between the strings and the garment that it's coming off of, in terms of material, wool strings coming off a linen garment is perfectly acceptable. Right. So, how do we know that it's only
the color?
Right. But Rashi constructed the argument that when it comes to the strings and the material, so we know it doesn't have to be a match because by definition, tcheles is wool. So once we know the blue is not going to have to be a match, so Rashi makes the argument, or at least Rashi's not making the argument. He's explaining the Gemara is making the argument. The white also doesn't have to be a match as well. We still have the idea of hakanaf min kanaf. So I guess now it's going to be relegated to the color. Otherwise, what else would it be describing? Okay. Ibai lehu. Mishmid lechut etzemer poshim b'shal pishtan. Ibai lehu. Continuing in the Gemara. Shal pishtan ma'o shi'ipata b'shal tzemer. Okay, what about this? What about if I have linen strings and I have a wool garment? Is that going to work out? Tzemer b'shal pishtan hu d'pata d'kevin t'chez patro alav anami pater. And the Gemara over here formulates basically the argument that we saw together in Rashi. Look, if I have a linen garment and I have wool strings, well, look, the blue has to by definition be wool. So if the blue is going to be wool, so then the white strings also can be made up of wool. Ava pishtim b'tzemer lo, but maybe the opposite's not going to work out. Because consider, if I have a wool garment, so now can I put linen strings on? Now again. Of the four strings, two of them are going to be tcheles. And tcheles, by definition, is going to be wool. Okay, so that's fine. Wool strings on a wool garment, that's obviously fine. But now the two white strings, can I make them up of linen? So what the Gemara now is arguing is that maybe the answer is going to be no. Because over here, I don't have to make them out of linen. I can make them out of wool, and that would be fine. Odilma kevin dechsev lo silba shatnes. Tzemu pishtim yachdav gidilim taselach. Or maybe no. Maybe by virtue of the fact that the Torah gives an allowance, a bona fide allowance to make your tzitzis out of shatnez, so that means to say that if the beged's going to be linen, sorry, let me do that better, if the beged's going to be made wool, so then the strings for sure can be made linen, because the Torah is obviously providing an allowance for it to be made up of shatnez. If I make the whole thing out of wool, I'm not making it a shatnez, and the Torah allows for shatnez. Therefore, it could very well be that with a wool garment, the strings can be made up of linen. Okay, Tashma. Okay, so the Gemara quotes in the name of Yehuda exactly what, like we just said, wool strings can be applied to a linen garment. Linen strings can be applied to a wool garment. Chut etzemer upishtim potrim b'chol makom. Wool strings, linen strings, are going to, literally the word is exempt, but in other words, it's acceptable to attach them to any garment made up of any material, ve'afil b'shirayim, even if your tzitzis are going to be silk. Okay, sounds comfortable. In other words, so you make your beged out of silk, so what the Gemara now is arguing is that as long as you're attaching strings made up of either wool or linen, so that would be okay, that would be acceptable. And by the way, let's articulate together what the Gemara is saying, because the Gemara is now saying really a tremendous chiddush. Meaning, if I had a wool garment and I had let's start off on the easy scenario. If I had a linen garment and I had wool tzitzis, so then obviously that's shatnez, which the Torah gives an allowance for. We also establish that if I have a wool garment and I decide to make the white strings of linen, that's also fine. But what we're now saying is that if I have a silk garment, and then I attach tzitzis. Now, the blue strings are going to be made up of wool, again, by definition. The white strings, let's say we make the white strings of linen. So now, and I'm knotting everything together. So now what I'm doing is I'm knotting wool and linen together into a garment. The garment happens to be made out of silk. It must be, and this is going to be basically the Gemara's point, I'm just spelling it out first. It must be that you have fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis on a daraisa level. Because if you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis on a daraisa level, you cannot be putting together wool and linen strings on a silk garment. Because the wool and linen strings that are attached to a silk garment is shatnez. And if I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah of daraisa, so then I don't have the right to make shatnez. So therefore what the Gemara is arguing is that you can even attach wool and linen tzitzis onto a silk garment. Now the Gemara says, now not everyone agrees to this. Upligi de Rav Nachman, de Amar Rav Nachman, Ashirayim Peturim and Tzitzis. Now Rav Nachman is quoted as saying that the Shirayim are going to be exempt from Tzitzis. Now Ezra, the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Rav Ezra, Rav Le Rav Nachman, Shirayim Veklach Vastrik and Kulan Chayev Mitzitzis, the Gemara quotes a Braisa that says very clearly that these various materials, I'll translate the first one because that one I know. These various materials, which the first one being silk, if you make a garment made out of silk, it's actually going to be obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis. And so what we seemingly have over here is a braisa that says very clearly that even a silk garment is obligated in tzitzis, unlike what was reported in the name of Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, midrabanan. The Gemara says, that braisa over there was not talking about a daraisa level. On a daraisa level, so the only garments that require tzitzis on a daraisa level is only a garment made up of either wool or linen. But another garment made up of another material is not obligated min haTorah. Midrabanan, you're going to attach tzitzis to it, but not min haTorah. Iachi em haSeifa, the Gemara says, okay, but let's read on the Braisa. V'kulan semro pishim pochim bahem. Now, regarding all of them, wool and linen will pata them. Meaning, if I put wool and linen on, so that would be good. That would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Now, the Gemara says, now let's think this through. Now, at this point, what the Gemara is thinking is that when we say wool and linen, like we said just a moment ago, in other words, of the four strings, two are wool, the tchela strings, two are linen, the white strings, and that would be fine. Now, if you're fulfilling a mitzvah in a Torah, that's great. But if all you're doing is just satisfying a rabbinic obligation, how could I violate the Issur Torah of Kalayim when I'm not min haTorah fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis? So, Ema, O Tzemer, O Pishtim. So the Gemara says, you're right. We don't mean both. We mean either. So in other words, on a silk garment, you could put wool linen, meaning all wool linen. On a silk garment, you could put linen, but only all linen. Now, admittedly, by the way, that's a little bit tricky to understand because, as we've said already numerous times, of those four strings, two of them are going to be wool. Wool, by definition, is only dyed on... Sorry. Two of them are going to be blue. Okay? Sorry. Two of them are going to be blue. Blue, by definition, is going to be dyed on wool strings. So, admittedly, it's hard to understand what the Gemara means when the Gemara says it's talking about all linen. But anyway, but that's what the Gemara is suggesting. Because, look... Because later in the Brice it says that if I match materials, tzitzis to the garment, so that's good. If it's not a match, tzitzis to the garment, so then it's not going to be good. Now, if this is a din derabanan, so the Gemara says, so I get it. But ela yamar daraisa temra pishim udepater. So the Gemara says, but if it's a din daraisa, somehow on a silk garment, I put wool strings, I put linen strings, that works. And if I put any other material, it doesn't work. And what's the difference between wool and linen on a silk garment versus any other string? Imishum haloir, the Gemara says that in of itself is not a compelling argument. Ki derava derava ramiksiv. And the Gemara notes now, just like what Rava taught us, Rava notes a discrepancy between two psukim. Hakanaf, min kanaf. Once again, we come up with this idea that hakanaf means from the garment. And according to Rav, according to Rava, that pasuk indicates that it's just got to be a match. As long as the strings match material-wise to the garment, you're good. On the other hand, uksiv semro pishtim. On the other hand, parshas ki seisei. So the Torah tells us the mitzvah of tzitzis, and right next to it attaches the iser of kalaim, wool and linen. Ha ketzad semro pishtim pochim bemiminam bemishlaminam sharminam bemiminam pochim shlo bemiminam ein pochim. And so basically, the way that we're going to resolve the seeming discrepancy between the two pesukim will go like this. On a garment where I make it out of any other material other than wool and linen, I make the garment out of cotton, I make it out of silk, etc., etc. So now, in terms of the strings, what do the strings need to be? Of the same material. That's the pasuk of HaKanaf. HaKanaf tells me that when I'm making the garment out of a material, so if I match the material with the strings, you have fulfilled your mitzvah, min HaTorah. If, however, you decide instead of using the same material for the strings, you decide to use either wool and linen, wool and linen will always work. Wool strings or linen strings are always going to be acceptable to be placed on a garment, regardless of what the garment is made out of. So, wool and linen is universal, and in terms of making the strings of any other material, it only will work if the strings and the material are made up of the same material.
So, in other words, the sitzes that we see that are cotton.
Yeah.
The sitzes that are attached to
the markah. Okay, very good. So what comes out now, according to Rava, is basically we have the following. If you are making a garment out of cotton, which many sitzes garments are made out of cotton. So if you're making a garment out of cotton, so now you have the following option. You can either put cotton strings on to tie for the cotton garment, or you can make wool or linen strings as well for the cotton garment. Meaning you can either match the material, that's hakanaf, or what you can do is you can make the strings out of either wool or linen, and that too has satisfied the obligation in the Torah. Now it comes out according to Rava, that can I make a bag out of wool? The answer is not only yes, but according to Rava, but there's still and there's still an opportunity to fill the mitzvah d'oraisa of tzitzis, and that would be either matching the material by putting cotton strings, or by putting either wool or linen strings on the bottom. This is all according to Rava, and this is how he balances the, on one hand, the Torah's description of Hakanaf, versus the Torah's also mentioning of Semru Pishtim, wool and or linen. The Rav Ramiksiv, we did it, Ben Shalokiminim, Sharminim, Ben Pocham, Shalominim, Ben Pocham. V'Rav Nachman. Now, as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, now Rav Nachman does not buy this argument. And so Rav Nachman, following the viewpoint of Rabbi Shmuel, teaches us as follows, that because the Torah uses the words beged, and the Torah in one place specifies that a beged by definition, by tzaras, the Torah specifies that a beged by definition is going to be either wool or linen. So therefore, we now know that the only obligation to attach tzitzis onto a garment is only when the garment is either going to be made up of either wool or linen. If a garment is made up of any other material, yes, there is a mitzvah to put tzitzis on, but it's not a mitzvah min haTorah. It is only going to be a mitzvah midrabanan. And so we have in the Gemara here clearly is a machlokus between Rav and Rav Nachman, and it could go be also Machlokas Tanaim as well, in terms of whether or not, if I make a garment out of anything other than wool linen, would it be obligated in tzitzis min haTorah? We all are going to agree that it's going to be chayav in tzitzis. It's just going to be a question of whether you're fulfilling a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. According to Rava, a cotton garment is going to be obligated in tzitzis min haTorah, the option of either putting cotton strings or wool or linen strings. According to Rav Nachman, no. If a garment is made up of cotton, so you are going to put tzitzis on there, but that's only a din derabbanan min haTorah. There is no requirement to put strings on, because according to Rav Nachman, the only obligation to put strings on min haTorah is only when the garment is made up of either wool or linen. Okay. In terms of the halacha, by the way, it's obviously really important. Meaning, if given the choice between doing a mitzvah derabbanan versus a mitzvah deraisa, obviously you want to fulfill a mitzvah deraisa. So the Shulchan Aruch follows the opinion of Rava that the only beged materials that are chayv and tzitzis min haTorah is only going to be wool or linen, and other garments, albeit mid derabbanan or chayv and tzitzis, but not min haTorah. That's the Shulchan Aruch's psak. Many are lenient to put on kan tzitzis, especially in hot climates. Right, it's very hard to walk around with wool. Okay, what do I wear? That's none of your business. right. That's they said over in the name, and they say it's brought down that the grub were kan tzitzis. Much discussion about why he did so, considering the fact the Shulchan Aruch pasuk is like Rava. Okay. I mention it. That's accurate, and it discussed why, in fact, that was the case.